Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Michigan Mobile Musings, a podcast from the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan, MTAM for short. My name is Melissa. Carla Bailo recently returned to Michigan to lead the Center for Automotive Research as its president and CEO after her groundbreaking work at The Ohio State University led them to win the 2016 U.S. Department of Transportation Smart City Challenge. Listen in as Carla shares her information about her work for the Center of Automotive Research, her previous work in Columbus, her thoughts on mobility and connected technologies, and the Center of Advanced Automotive Technology Conference coming up in April. Welcome, Carla. So glad you could join us today. We have some really exciting things to talk about. You're welcome, including your participation in the upcoming CAAT Spring Conference called Testing Tomorrow's Automated Vehicles Today. Let's start with having you talk a little bit about your background and go from there.
Yeah, certainly. I was actually born and raised in Michigan, so my divergence to Ohio was just a short stay, so to speak. And I was actually born very near Willow Run, where the ACM is being built today. Both of my grandfathers relocated here when Henry Ford started production in the Ypsilanti area. So besides living overseas in Germany for 2 years and Japan for 5 years when I was with Nissan, I've fundamentally always been in Michigan, except for the 2.5 years at Ohio State.
Okay, well, welcome back. We're glad to have you. And, you know, I understand that when you came back to Ohio to take the president and CEO, what were some of the reasons that maybe you decided to come back to Michigan?
Well, I think there's, you know, there's several reasons. One is I'm a longtime resident of Michigan and worked in the automotive industry for GM for 10 years early in my career as a General Motors Institute grad, and then for Nissan for 25 years at the Technical Center in Farmington Hills. So once I decided to leave the industry, I really wanted to look for something that would allow me to work with students and be on the leading edge of research, which is one of the reasons why I went into academia. And, you know, fundamentally, that gave me then the nonprofit experience blended with industry experience. And, of course, here at the Center for Automotive Research, we're a nonprofit, unbiased leader of research and ideation for the automotive industry. So it was just this perfect marriage of industry and nonprofit that really led me to come back to my home, so to speak, you know, not to mention the fact it gets me closer to a couple of my children anyway and many family members.
Very nice. So let's talk a little bit about your work when you were at The Ohio State University. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. You know, Ohio State University is the third largest university in the U.S. It has about 60,000 students on campus, and if you include all of the professors and faculty and staff, you're at about 100,000 people. So it was a really large university with many, many different specialties, as many land-grant schools are. And they really wanted somebody to come in who had a track record of bridge building and business development and look throughout the entire university what they were doing related to mobility. When I say mobility, that's everything from personal or exoskeleton kind of work up through drones and including ground transit, rail transit, you know, seeing what's happening in the College of Agriculture, for example, with some of the work they're doing with drones and then doing soil analytics so they know what kind of, let's say, corn seed that should be planted for the best yield. And then talking to people in the medical school and some of the things they're doing on brain trauma from accidents, either, you know, concussions on the field or in a vehicle. With the convergence of technologies, it makes a lot of sense to look holistically at what the university can do. So they wanted me to understand that and then propose one or two big ideas that we could work on collectively as a university in conjunction with our government and industry partners.
Okay, and is that what led you then to the Smart City Challenge? And if yes,
that's a great story. So, you know, I started on smart mobility because my background being in the automotive industry really led me to believe that we could take a leading role in connected and autonomous vehicles. And one of the things that's unknown about Ohio State, at least in this area, and in fact in many areas, is they actually run an independent nonprofit proving ground called Transportation Research Center. It's 4,500 acres. It's an asset of the university. The chair of the board of this facility is the dean of the College of Engineering at Ohio State, and all excess revenues come back to the university for mobility research. So as I, you know, learned about that wonderful facility that we had, we also had a transportation research group called Ohio State Center for Automotive Research, and then learned about all the capabilities there. I said, well, this is easy to think about creating an Ohio Smart Mobility Initiative, utilizing all of the contained testing, and then as part of that, was creating a corridor that connected the university to Transportation Research Center to be able to do on-the-road testing. So I had launched that with the vision of triple zero, so zero accidents and fatalities, zero carbon footprint, and zero stress for the drivers and for vulnerable road users. And as we think about the densification of cities and urban areas to be able to reduce congestion, improve throughput, basically bring people's lives back from the time that they're spending on the roadways, and of course greatly improve safety. So that was all the pillars of work I had started, and then the DOT came out and launched the Smart City Challenge after I'd been at the university about 6 months and had kicked off this initiative, which offering $40 million to a mid-sized city that would do mobility pilots that would reduce congestion, improve the environment, and provide ladders of opportunities. So it was just a perfect springboard to move the Smart Mobility Initiative into a smart city, really doing demonstrator pilots to improve the lives of the citizens.
Wow, it sounds like you've been involved in some very exciting and rewarding work. Not only in your first career, but kind of in your second year entering academia and working with the college and the mobility center there. So looking forward now, what are some of the goals for your new position at the Center of Automotive Research?
Well, the Center for Automotive Research, probably you don't know the history, but I'll give you a little history lesson. It used to be part of the University of Michigan, and it was started by Dave Cole, who still is quite active in a number of venues with his knowledge about the automotive business. We actually spun off and became independent in 2003. So this is our 15th anniversary of an independent institution. And we have three main areas of research. One is industry, labor, and economics. That's the folks who are looking at the impacts of NAFTA, looking at the impacts of sales and portfolios of vehicles. There's another group that does transportation systems analysis. That's the group focused on urban planning, connected autonomous vehicles, and smart cities. And then there's a third group that is, it's called MET, it's Manufacturing Engineering and Technology, which is a huge scope. And so what I'm thinking to do here, we've done a lot of work with labor and economics, We've done a lot of work with metals and lightweighting. But considering the convergence of technologies and some of the challenges that are being faced in this disruptive automotive environment, we really need to do a lot more work, holistic work, in terms of helping jurisdictions with their smart city economic analysis. For example, a lot of cities know they need to do something to become a smart city, and they need to do something to enable connected autonomous vehicles to be going around their city, but they don't know what that something is, and they don't know the right economic equation to put to that to be able to justify to the citizens of that jurisdiction that they're spending the money judiciously. They don't know how much to invest or in what technologies. And I believe this is something that, CAR is best suited to assist with. The other is when you talk about the rapidity of technology, the lifelong learning. You know, what do we need to do differently in our educational institutions to be able to have students, when they graduate, to be ready to be part of this this new world, this new mobility world and transportation world? And then from a the other standpoint of the disruption that connected autonomous and mobility as a service is going to have on the entire product development cycle of companies, and how they're going to need to change their processes as well as their manufacturing facilities. When we talk about life cycles today that are 5 years, shrinking to perhaps 2 years in the future, what that's going to mean to supply chains, what that will mean to factory layouts. So really getting much more involved in smart manufacturing or manufacturing 4.0, additive manufacturing, so that we can personalize these autonomous pods for the user, that we understand their preferences based on, you know, their cell phone and their personal information fundamentally. How we can do more additive manufacturing. Also, when you think about, again, then the skill sets that will be required in this new world.
Wow, so you really have a very large scope of not only ideas, but just everything. I mean, you're wrapping your arms around this whole concept of ideas and new world manufacturing and all of these things that, I mean, we really need to get a handle on. I mean, a lot of cities aren't prepared to be a smart city. They don't know how to embrace some of the smart city technology and use them going forward. And it sounds like you really have your work cut out for you.
Well, first they have to understand even what connected and autonomous means, and they have to also understand the power of data and how to use data. We're talking about data, you know, currently we're in the terabyte, petabyte range. We're talking about zettabytes of data in the future that governments and businesses are going to have to handle. Just to give you an idea, you know, I'm an engineering geek, so I love talking, you know, in mathematical formulas. So a zettabyte of data is 10 to the 17th. That's how many zeros are after the one. So it's a huge amount of data, and that's going to be produced, you know, within a very short time window. So how do you know what to do with that data? How can you analyze it properly? And how can you use it to then be able to improve the services that your jurisdiction is providing? This is the key. So a lot of the work that I did initially in the Ohio State Smart City Challenge was just talking with governments and government representatives about really what is a connected autonomous product, how can it help them, how can they explain that to the citizens, and just getting that fundamental understanding to then begin the ideation of how this fits into their city looking 50 years down the road. And, you know, many times cities don't even look that far down the road. So it you have to have that vision as well.
Wow. So now one of the ways that you're going to be getting all of this information out and helping people understand is you're going to be the keynote presenter at the Center for the Advance, or yeah, the Center of Advanced Automotive Technology Conference at Macomb Community College. Can you share with us, I know you kind of already have, but what are some of the themes that you're going to be discussing there during your speech?
Well, I'm still formulating it, I'll be honest. You know, it changes right up to the last minute. But talking to the folks that are putting the conference together, I really want to be thought-provoking and maybe a little scary, because you know I want people to realize we are in a disruptive environment as we've never been in before. And when it comes to academia, and I'll just give you a little bit of background. I'm also on the Board of Trustees at Kettering University in Flint, and I'm on the External Advisory Board at the University of Michigan College of Engineering, as well as the Advisory Board at Ohio State College of Engineering. So I have a well-versed knowledge of you know, what's happening in academia and the struggles that all institutions are facing today in terms of making sure that the curriculum is right, considering the convergence of technology, trying to meet the students' demand, which is, you know, they want to understand a lot of different things so that they're well-armed when they go out into industry, or at least they have a specialty, and also trying to meet the industry demands, which is basically they need somebody when they graduate to be able to get on the ground running very, very fast, because we have the silver tsunami of retirees, us baby boomers, that, you know, the younger people need to start replacing almost tomorrow. So there's so many stresses coming on the academic side, and all of it is coming together to that industry, academia, everyone needs to work together to help to formulate and bridge these gaps and better prepare our students. So I'm going to be looking at a lot of that, and not just for a four-year institution, but a two-year institution, as well as some of those, the new, I'll call them startup online institutions like Udacity, that, you know, the tuition's extremely low. You go to school for 18 months, you get a certificate, and you're pretty much guaranteed a job. So all of this needs to be thought about. I want to be very thought-provoking in that way, and think about how we can begin to mitigate and better prepare our students in the upcoming years. And not only that, but how we can then keep our workforces more relevant, because technology isn't sitting. It's moving exponentially. So this lifelong learning and the role that industry and even government is going to have to play in keeping the employed people relevant in the jobs that they're in today.
That sounds like a really big challenge. You know, one of the things that, as you're well aware, there's so many colleges in the southeast section of Michigan that are working in this space currently, and they're all kind of connected. So you've got some great two-year colleges over there. You've, of course, got University of Michigan. You had mentioned Kettering and some of these other universities, and they play really well together. One of my questions is always, as I live in Grand Rapids and I'm on the west side of the state, how do we keep the west side of Michigan involved? We have fantastic universities here, Western Michigan, Grand Valley State, Ferris State. How do some of those schools help participate and stay relevant? And, you know, some of them have some very good engineering programs. How do they get the information that's happening more specifically maybe in the southeast section of Michigan? How do they get included in all of this?
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for that. I think academia needs to take a lesson from industry. And what's happening in industry right now is, as they move from car companies to mobility companies, there are certain core competencies that are lacking in an automotive company. And they're getting that core competency by cooperating with startups or others that have it. You've seen so many buyouts or mergers just recently last week. Bosch and Split merged together. Split is a B2B ride-sharing service. GM with Lyft and Maven, you know, Ford with Chariot and others, you have a choice to either supplement what you're lacking with another provider or try to build it in-house. And academia isn't really good, even though we like to say we cooperate, we really compete, as do the auto companies. So, but I think there's opportunities to be leveraged where, let's say, Grand Valley has a wonderful, and I'm being very hypothetical, so this isn't factual. Let's say they have a wonderful artificial intelligence course, and let's say Western does not, but Western has a great engineering curriculum. So those two schools could perhaps cooperate and allow the students to gain that knowledge by taking courses at the other university, therefore keeping both universities very relevant and providing the student with options that will only benefit their education. And I think we're going to have to start seeing more of this kind of cooperation, even, you know, the 2+2 model, where students can go to a community college for 2 years and then move into a full, you know, engineering and or computer science, whatever degree as well. But these, you know, these programs have to be started, which means cooperation that in the past has not happened easily.
I think that's a great answer, and I think it's one of the better ones that I've heard. It's, you know, not only is the automobile industry transforming, I mean, everything is transforming in our entire world on a global level at a very rapid pace. So one of the questions has been, you know, we need more tradespeople, things like that, or, you know, that's been some of the discussion. But academia plays a huge part in trades, too, because things are becoming so much more complex. And as, you know, different universities and colleges, as they transform, so are our industries transforming. And everybody's just having to maybe rethink their roles a little bit. So thank you for your answer. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a big challenge because educational institutions don't move fast, you know. But in this era of the, you know, technology, we have to move faster and, you know, really try to listen to what the students need and to what industry needs. And it really includes the 2-year programs, the 1-year programs. Not every student should be going to college for 4 years. And we have to get rid of that mindset in our culture that you go to a 4-year institution or you don't go. Because we are in real jeopardy of having skilled trades as we need them in this country. And for some people, that is the perfect career. That's what they should be doing. That's what they're going to love, and they'll be happy, and they'll be able to have a good ROI on that investment. But we have to get rid of the mindset that, you know, not going to school for 4 years, you know, is wrong.
Absolutely. So I do need to take us back. We were going to talk a little bit more about the conference that you're attending. Do you know the date of that conference and the website that people can go to register for the event?
Well, of course I do. The date is April 20th, and it's going to be at Macomb Community College, which I have to say is probably one of the leaders, definitely the leader in the state in some of the work that they're doing with technical degrees and trying to bridge this gap to a 4-year or partnering with others. It's a tremendous program. And the website is AutoCAAT.org. And then you can drill down and find all the details about the conference and how to register.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing. Do you know if there's a cost to attend? I'm sure it's on the website.
I'm sure it is. I didn't dig into that. In fact, I have to be very honest. When I went on the website this morning, they were having some technical difficulties. And I couldn't get all the information.
Darn technology, anyway. Our best efforts are often stymied.
It's amazing how reliant we are.
It really is, and sometimes it's very scary. I wonder if there were ever a hiccup in technology, what we would do without it. A lot of us, I don't think, would know what to do.
Well, I often joke with my kids, you realize when I went to university, there were no computers. We did have calculators, but they weren't very powerful. And the first time I did something on a computer, it was with a stack of cards that did a very simple task. So my, quickly things have moved, and it's just going to continue to go at that pace.
Well, and that's a really perfect example. So, because one of my next questions was talent. So right now we are rapidly advancing into areas where there are not a lot of individuals who are prepared or as well educated to maybe step into some of these roles that are being, exited by, you had mentioned the baby boomers, but even the baby boomers don't have some of that knowledge. What does the talent shortage right now mean to the industry? And do you think that we're going to be able to keep up as we go forward?
It's a huge talent gap that we have right now, especially in the areas of computer science, artificial intelligence, machine learning, coding. These are the big shortages. And quite frankly, the last data I showed was in several of these areas, the people looking for the support, a college degree isn't even number one. It's do they have the relevant experience and can they do it? So it's extremely, we have an extreme shortage. Will that shortage stay in those areas? Who knows? We have to be very prophetic to understand the gaps that we have. But when we look at these areas, there are certification programs that are now being developed that will at least give people the skill sets that they need to be able to start working in that, and then there can be on-the-job training, et cetera. What I really see as a huge risk for us as a nation right now, when you look at the number of people in our master's degree programs and in our PhD programs, there are very few nationals in those programs. And when we used to see people graduating out of those programs, 50% of them would stay with that knowledge here in the U.S. Now we're seeing nearly all of them going back home. So, if we want to be leaders in technology, we have to train. We have to train and make sure we have the right ways for U.S. Nationals to be able to go to school here, afford to go to school here, and then keep that talent here. And the way we do that is by continuing our dominance in technology and leadership in several areas that makes staying here or even staying in Michigan the sexy place to work, and that we have the right mindset, we have the right opportunities to be able to retain what we educate.
So you had, we were talking a little bit before the show. You had mentioned the personal experience, a family member who had been living outside of Michigan and made a decision to come back. What a lot of people don't understand is, especially in Michigan, you can have a career here in Michigan, and instead of maybe going out towards, say, for example, Silicon Valley or something like that, if you stay in Michigan, you can live really well on an income. So I believe the ratio is something like $150,000 in Silicon Valley is the equivalent to about $80,000 here in Michigan, but the cost of living is different. Do you think that will play a factor in helping retain or get people to take these degrees?
I think we're going to start to see some of the folks that have gone out to Silicon Valley, or in my case, I told you the story about my son who was in Portland and quite frankly got tired of the high cost of living, the congestion and everything that goes along with that, and, was thinking about, it's time now to settle down, came back to Michigan, got a much larger house for less money, and the cost of living is so much better. When you look at all things considered, coming in the Midwest and in Michigan is really a smart idea. And we are seeing people that have gone out to the Silicon Valley, and they're commuting 2 hours a day on the corporate bus because they can't afford a car, because they can't afford even a one-bedroom apartment close enough, to get them to make it a reasonable commute to and from work. Even the best workplace in the world, when you're giving up that kind of personal time, gets challenging. So I think this is a huge opportunity for Michigan to tout the quality of living here, the need and the diversity in the mobility segment today. We have automotives here. They drive our economy, but it's not just about building cars anymore. There's a lot of cool stuff, a lot of coding, huge amount of computer work that goes into a vehicle these days. So we really need to focus on, again, I want to compete on this sexy scale. It's cool to work here. We're doing some awesome stuff in the automotive industry.
I love the sexy theme. So we are really out of time. I would love to just talk to you for hours and hours more, because you've shared a lot of really great information with us today, and I really, really appreciate that. I mean, it's important for people to understand what is going on in this industry. You mentioned, three key areas, new areas that maybe we need to focus on, how academia is going to play a role in this. I really wish we had more time, but we don't. So if you have a couple of last parting words, any last-minute thoughts you'd like to share with our audience?
Yeah, it was really a pleasure to have this time with you today. And, the one thing I did neglect to say is we have to start talking to our students when they are under 10 years old to really, explain to them the importance of a career in STEM, really the vast opportunities that are out there today, and get them interested in all facets of mobility. And I really think it's up to almost every person, parent, teacher, counselor, any student that you talk to get that enthusiasm and let them know really how much fun it is to work in this field.
Absolutely. I don't know if you saw this, but I believe Barbie is going to start coming up with a technology component to Barbie dolls that there's going to be some free things allowed. But then there's going to be additional subscriptions that you can purchase to get a little higher level. So maybe some of our toys are going to start having those components with it so that we can help children start earlier.
I think that's
and
wonderful.
That will help
I have
that challenge.
Yeah, I have a granddaughter that is being raised much differently than a lot of little girls are, and hopefully that's going to make a difference.
Absolutely. Well, Carla, thank you again so much for your time today. I certainly appreciate it. Good luck at the as you give your talk coming up here at the Center of Advanced Automotive Technology Conference on April 20th. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye. MTAM provides excellent resources for businesses and individuals in the mobile wireless space. For more information about the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan or upcoming events, please visit our website at gomobilemichigan.org or follow us on Facebook or Twitter at GoMobileMI. Thanks so much for listening, and make it a fantastic week.